That's a number five. Life more abundant. So take care how you listen, for he who has, to him shall more be given. The meaning of that is very plain. The more you know of the truth, the more you are aware, so as you listen, more will be given unto you. The sayings of the Master are so deep in themselves that many of them could not hear. They were both blind and deaf. The same is today. And these words are meant for those people who could hear and understand. Take care how you listen, for he who has, to him shall more be given. Luke 8:18. Now Jesus understood and felt the crying need of the world, saw the suffering and unhappiness, and the lack of understanding which caused all the misery in it. And he knew that God had sent him into the world to heal the mind of man. It was for to heal the mind of man that was so essential. Because if he healed the mind, he would have healed the body. And it is the same today. We must heal the mind before we can heal the body. I told you some nights ago that if you did not know how the healing took place, then you were not the wiser. But if you knew the signs behind the healing, then you were the wiser. But if a healing takes place in ignorance, no one is the wiser for that healing. But if the healing takes place through the signs of the Christ, then you know, and you are the wiser for it. He did not see himself separate from others, but knew that he and all others were the manifestation of the Creator that created him and created all existing things. And it is this that we must also realize. We must get behind the self that is separate and begin to see clearly that we are not separate from anything, even the rocks, the flowers, the plants, the trees, the skies, the planets, and anything that exists at all in the universe. Even if it may be a million light years from us, there is no separation between us. It is the same Father in which we live, the same substance, the same creative power existing in you. And when we realize that the creative power in us is not separate from the creative power in the universe, then we have found the science of the Christ. He understood his relationship to his Creator so clearly that he compared it to that of a father and his son. I am the Son of God. The Father and I are one. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and me in you. Here then was a distinct statement made by the Master for us to comprehend the great significance of that which lies behind the self. And unless we discern the self and all that hinders that realization of this that is behind the self, we will always be caught up in those things that are separate and mean separation. And separation then means conflict. Conflict means misery and sorrow. In all his words and acts, he showed that all were of the same eternal Father as himself, that all were one with the eternal creative power, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1:3. In Matthew 3:13-14, then Jesus came on the scene from Galilee to be baptized by John at the Jordan. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you," he said, "and you come to me." But Jesus answered him, "Come now. This is how we should fulfill all our duty to God." Jesus knew that he could not separate himself from the masses because he was one with them. His sorrow was their sorrow, his joy their joy, born of the same Father, one with the same family. He came also to take on the sorrow of the world. Each and every one of us cannot escape the sorrow of the world because we are part of it. If we try to escape it, then we are trying to escape away from our own causes, the effects of our causes which we have created ourselves. And we know then that the secret lies in this: call no man your father on earth, for one is your Father who is in heaven. That is the secret behind it all. If you can comprehend this truth, then you can discern everything that is relative to it, everything that is preventing this truth manifesting in you. You can see the relative side of life. You can see all the causes of all misery. And you can never escape from it, even if you try. You are part of it. And it is this that we must see clearly. The only way that we can come and do anything into the world is to discern the causes of all the misery in the world and then cease to contribute to it. Immediately we begin to contribute to these things, through selfishness, through our worship to God, while at the same time we worship God and we say that God is love, and we pray to this God of love, at the same time we condone mass murder. It is entirely wrong. And you students know it by this time. It was Jesus who came to show the great truth, and I'm going to show you his words tonight. It's going to open your eyes to this, so that you can see clearly for yourselves the meaning of the Master's words. When he prayed, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven." Not my Father, but our Father, meaning there was only one Father who was his Father, yours and mine. This was the great truth he came to reveal to us all. So by his baptism, he showed that he was one with all, and it was with this truth that he went among the people teaching and healing. That he had found the Christ that was in every other human being. He had found the power that existed in every human being. And wherever he went, he broke into existence that power within the individual themselves. And it was this that he showed. In every sense, in everything that he did, he claimed nothing for himself. He only claimed that the Father worked within him. And also claim that same power for each and every one. Thy faith hath made thee whole. It is the power within you, in other words, that hath made you whole. Their diseases were the result of their belief. Truth never binds or separates. It is only belief that separates. And this is the error that makes sickness and misery, because error separates us mentally from one another and from the eternal living God. And it is through the mind of man that this power is given expression. And it is the mind that must be healed. And Jesus came to heal the mind of man. And I will show you why. In his own words, a change fundamentally must necessarily take place in the individual before freedom comes. And the words the Master gave were for this purpose. When we look into ourselves, we will see that it is we ourselves that have created this separation, struggle, and suffering. Our inward conflicts express themselves in outward disasters. These inward conflicts which are going on in the minds of people today. The hate, the desires for acquisition, the desires for victory, all these are in conflict with the Christ within yourselves. And only when your thoughts come to be in unison with that Christ within you, can you have peace in the world, and happiness, and prosperity for all. We have allowed our mind heart to be dulled with beliefs, erroneous philosophies, dogmas, and ideas. By these we create this struggle and suffering. Therefore, conferences, blueprints, and systems will not bring about goodwill and brotherly love. And it was this that the Master saw so clearly when he said, "Unless ye be born again this time of spirit and water, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Meaning clearly that water was the perfect substance out of which everything was created, in which there was no flaw. The Spirit is the truth of God, the love of God manifesting in the world. Unless you're born of the love of God and of the perfect substance of God, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So we read about Nicodemus asking Jesus the question, "Why have I got to enter my mother's womb again to be born again?" Of course, even Nicodemus, who was a great teacher at his time, did not understand the Master's words. But we, who have progressed along the path of understanding, now see the meaning of his words. The world problem is our problem, and we alone can solve it. We cannot leave it to others. The politician, the economist, the reformer is like ourselves, all opportunists, a cunning deviser of plans without a purpose. If we look into it, we will see that there is no purpose. If in your mind heart you are antagonistic to another nation, another group, if you have beliefs in your mind heart that separate you from another because of your belief, then don't you see that your thought feeling will be the cause of much suffering? Yes, and increase it in intensity, it will bring struggle, misery, and war. We have religious wars because of people's beliefs. We have wars between nations because of the antagonistic between different ideals and ideas. We have groups in our own society that are antagonistic to one another. In your own personal lives, you have antagonisms to this person and that person for some reason or another. Your mind heart is filled with antagonisms, with the very root, the cause of the world misery today. Our problem is human conflict and misery, and it is our empty existence that produces those agonizing disasters we read off daily in our newspapers. The solving of this problem needs more than cunning devices, more than superficial reformers, politicians, and prayers. It needs a radical change in the human mind through understanding. And no one can bring this transformation about but ourselves. If we are thinking, and as we believe, that our conferences, that our leaders are going to bring about that very state in the world that we would like, while we maintain in our mind heart the very thing that causes this struggle, we are barking up the wrong tree. If I can show you then the Master's words, then you will understand him by what I am saying to you now. We see clearly that misery and strife come about when material and temporal values dominate spiritual and eternal values. The eternal value is not brought about by just a belief in God. Most of us have a belief in God, but are antagonistic to one another. Do we not profess our love for God, at the same time condone mass murder of our fellow men, our neighbors, in the name of peace and freedom? You cannot deny these words. Think in your own heart and you will see what I am saying is an absolute truth. If you are going to have the power of the Christ, then you must see these things clearly, so that your mind heart will be freed. Then your thought feeling will give expression and form things that are desirable in the sight of God. As long as religious organizations condone organized force as a policy of state, as long as oppression, ignorance, and intolerance are encouraged, mankind will be blinded to the reality of eternal values. He will be blinded to these eternal values that are the only salvation for mankind. And I can see the Master came to give this salvation, but we have not thought anything about it. We have made an idol of him. We have placed him so far away we could never reach him. We have not even studied his sayings. Now we become worshippers at the feet of the Master. But does the Master know us? He will say, "No, I know you not." When a sense of reality is lost and not sought after, man will continue to be against man, resulting in confusion, cruelty and misery. When we read the Sermon on the Mount, we see clearly what the Master means. So take heed how you listen, for he who has, to him shall more be given. He spoke in words which are relative, but behind them was the awareness of reality. Even the words of mine are relative to you. They only convey to your mind, but I cannot give you the truth. You have to find that for yourself. But what I can do is to lead you towards this mighty thing that dwells within you. Jesus says, I tell you, my hearers, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. This is the law of love, to invoke a blessing upon your enemies. You release yourself of hatred and of all that follows it. If then you can love your enemy, if at least you can not hate him, you will not create in your own mind heart the cause of misery. You will begin to understand the Master's words. If the Christ is then dwelling in your soul, which he is, but hidden and covered up by your mind heart, filled with antagonisms, filled with separation, filled with beliefs, filled with all these things that hinder the true expression, yes, I stand at the door and knock. How simple is those words, but how true. In God rests all power, to be like him. This power then must be shown in us, God's power. If a man strikes you on one cheek, offer him the other as well. If anyone takes your coat, do not deny him your shirt as well. These two verses are meant to urge and encourage enduring love and patience. For without this, we will surely create more misery for ourselves and others. All the time he was speaking from his understanding that there was no separation. Your enemy was your friend. Your enemy was your neighbor. Your enemy had the same Spirit of God, the Christ in him. Jesus was speaking from the very source that enables us to create peace in the world. And there is no other way except the Christ way. Give to anyone who asks you, and never ask your goods back from anyone who has taken them, as you would like men to do unto you, so do unto them. But I advise you, don't wait for the other person to do unto you before you do something unto them, which is generally the case. It is when another person does you a kindness, it wakens something up in you that you also return that kindness. But in the first verse of his saying, he says, I tell you, my hearers, love your enemies, do good unto those who hate you, bless them who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you, so that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. These verses indicate the times in which they were spoken, for a harsh law of possession was in vogue. There was a higher law which the Master was showing his disciples, that God was the great provider of all good things, And giving was an opening up for the Father to pour his gifts upon us. I have lived in the East, I've lived among the Arabs and the Jews, all these various types of nationalities, Armenians and all these particular people in the East. If you knew then the type that Jesus was talking to, you would realize the importance of his words. But are we any better than them? More refined in our actions, more subtle in our ways, but nevertheless, just the same characteristics. Material things are nothing compared to understanding of the law of love, which bestows upon the giver riches 100-fold, while the desire to retain possession stirs up antagonistic feelings which injure us in many ways. So we are now in the process of a war. Don't think that this is not a major war. It is the major war in operation. I am convinced of this fact, that it is the strategic position of the country in which the war is taking place now. That is behind the whole scheme, hidden behind those who are themselves jockeying for positions. And the major war is on. And anyone who tells you it is just a minor war, you take it from me that it is not. It is part of the whole scheme. The strategic key scheme. For possessions, one lot of nations against another. You read the lecture at the end of I Am the Life that I gave some years ago, and you will see how clearly the whole thing is portrayed there, what is happening at this very moment. If you love only those who love you, what credit is that to you? Why, even sinful men love those who love them. If you help only those who help you, what merit is that to you? These verses mean that to have God's love, you must love as he does. Otherwise, there is no credit or merit in your loving or helping. To love your neighbor as yourself will make you a true son and daughter of God. And by so doing, great is your reward in heaven, the Master explains. We do not love to obtain a reward. We love because we could not do otherwise when the truth is known. And when even a modicum of the truth is known, then you are filled with this desire to love, to help. Even if it's a stray little dog. Even if it is someone you have never seen before. When I often see a beggar in the street, I think the inhumanity to man. Robert Burns says, yes, man's inhumanity to man makes countless thousands more. But if I toss a mere penny in his cap. I go away thinking I've done something for him. What a fool I am. What a hypocrite I am. And anybody else that does the same, they think because they have given something, they have escaped that cause that they see there in misery. No, we do not escape the causes of that misery we see before us by throwing a penny in his cap, or a shilling either. We are hypocrites. If you lend to those from whom you hope to get something, what credit is that to you? This means the pernicious practice of giving to get. How many people today give only with one idea in mind, that they shall get more than they give? And their dependence is false and has no real value. Yes, this is what's in their mind. I know it perfectly well. If I give to God, and who is God? You've never seen God. You don't know who he is. How can you give to God? You've never seen him. You don't know who he is. You don't know what he is. And you say, now I give to God so that God will give back to me more than I gave. That is the whole attitude of the mind of most of the people who give today. This pernicious practice of giving to get is leading you away from the reality, because your dependence is upon some false value and not from a reality. We know that there is a reality. We do not know what that reality is, but we know that the reality is, not what it is. And I know that that reality is in myself. I am alive. I am living. No one can speak through me except the Creator who created me. He is the one who does all things. I of myself am nothing. I can do nothing of myself whatsoever. The only power there is his power. The only spirit is his. The mechanism he created was for his own purpose. And yes, you and I witness unto the truth of God. Witness unto the Father who created us. Let us then recognize this great and mighty, wonderful truth. And we know that we are dependent upon something that is real, and not something that is false. Dependence upon God only is the secret of successful life. This is the eternal truth. Even sinful men will lend to one another so as to get a fair return, meaning sinful men never doubt those they lend to. Why should you doubt God, the giver of all gifts? No, you must love your enemies and help them. You must lend to them without expecting any return. Then you will have a rich reward. You will be the sons of Most High. For he is kind even to the ungrateful and the evil. He treats all alike. The prodigal son proves that. He treated both sons alike. fact that the son had sinned did not interfere with the relationship between himself and his father. He was still the son. And although he spent all his inheritance, yet in the father's house there was more to spare. There was no limitation there, but there was in this separation. And Jesus shows this story again, where separation comes in. And yet he also shows the separation of the elder son, who thought that he was in the father's house. But he would not go in because he heard the merriment and laughter. No, he was too long-faced. He's one of those fellows you see going about with a long face in the Bible under the rockster on a Sunday, but underneath them is a wolf in sheep's clothing. In the Monday they become raving wolves, in Sunday they become sheep. All days are alike to God, Sunday and Monday. And because you pray on Sunday, you think that your prayers on Sunday will help you all the week, while your heart, mind is filled with antagonisms, reeking with filth, and these things that hinder the expression of the Almighty. How hypocritical people are. Yes, again, is the words of old Robert Burns, with the power, the gift to give us to see ourselves as others see us, it would from many an evil free us, a foolish notion. Also judge not, and you will not be judged yourselves. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned yourselves. Give, and you will have ample measure given you. They will pour into your lap measure pressed down, shaken together and running over. For the measure you deal out to others will be dealt back to yourself. Though, of cause and effect, he was talking about. He was talking about exactly what I am telling you now, what is happening in the world today. Before we judge others, we must judge ourselves. Then we will learn that that which we see in others is deeply rooted in ourselves. I said to you the other night that the innocent could not throw a stone. And if you think deeply, you will see the meaning of my words. The innocent could not throw a stone, because he did not know. Those who knew they themselves were not innocent would not throw a stone when they knew themselves. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Before we judge others, we must judge ourselves. Then we will learn that which we see in others is deeply rooted in ourselves. To condemn another, we therefore condemn ourselves in the light of truth. Can a blind man lead another? Will they not both fall into a pit? Meaning that those who do not know the truth cannot teach the truth. He was talking about the Pharisees at that time. And the same thing applies to most of religions today. What he teaches is false, therefore both will fall into the pit of ignorance which destroys man's happiness. A scholar is not above his teacher, but if he is perfectly trained, he will be like his teacher. This is plain speaking by the Master, that only one who is perfectly trained can become like the Master himself. Most teachers teach the relative world, the world of effects. They have not yet found the real, that which is behind the relative. They are always talking of manifestations this and manifestations that. Most teachers are living in the mind of opposites, in the realm of opposites, where you have health, ill health, success, failure, good, evil, God and the devil. And all these things, I may tell you often to turn towards the positive and you will lose the negative. That the negative will not exist, but immediately you turn toward the positive, the negative rises up stronger than ever. It is discerning the negative by looking at it and knowing it what it is. Then you can dissolve it by trying to escape from it, by covering it up with the positive. I say you are only creating more trouble for yourselves because you are creating further opposition. You live in the world of opposites. You are struggling with them and they are struggling with you. And the whole life is a struggle, one long struggle. Discern that which is false. Then that which is real will come forth of its own accord. You do not create reality. You do not choose reality. Reality has chosen you. Just as I have chosen you. Why note the splinter in your brother's eye and fail to see the plank in your own eye? How dare you say to your brother, "Let me take out the splinter off your eye," and yet you never notice the plank in your own eye, you hypocrite? I hope these words go deep into you. I hope that you're beginning to realize them, to absorb them, so that you can apply them. If you then want the Christ power, you must do what the Master says. He leads you towards that Christ power in yourselves. This means criticism must be turned towards the self first. Then when this is done, it will be seen. What we criticize in others is much less than what we have in ourselves. We only criticize others about that which is dominant in ourselves, because we try to escape from it. Hypocrite. The word hypocrite means an imposter, a deceitful person, a pretender, a humbug, a Pharisee, a sanctimonious humbug full of conceit, blind to his own shortcomings. Let us apply this to ourselves then, and tell ourselves what we are, so that we will know what we are. Then we can dissolve these things. But if we try to hide behind a screen which we create in ourselves, in front of us, to pose as some good goody, a virtuous screen which becomes a vice, let us see and discern these things in ourselves clearly and distinctly, and then we can cast them aside and become more like the Master every day. It was for that he said these words, and for nothing else. It is for us to see clearly what was in our minds, what was hindering the true expression of the Christ in us. No sound tree bears rotten fruit, nor again does a rotten tree bear sound fruit. Each tree is known by its fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, and grapes are not plucked from the bramble bush. A good man produces good from the good stores in his heart. Evil man, evil from his evil. For a man's mouth utters what his heart is full of. That is to say, what is in your heart, mind, your thought, feeling will be. And what your thought feeling is, it manifests, and that is the manifestation that you see in your lives. Your body is but the sounding board of your thoughts and your emotions. This means, by their fruit ye shall know them. When the heart feels, the mouth will express. Man's words and deeds reveal his nature. One cannot be a kind person if one is unkind to anyone. Neither can one be a loving person if one hates another. Yet people profess to be kind and loving, but the words and deeds show what they are. Is not love the secret of all things? Is it not the healing balm for mind and body and soul? Is it not that which gives joy and encouragement to everyone? Is it not then that wonderful power that is in the universe, that is creativeness? Only love is creativeness. Hate has no creativeness. Hate is only destruction to the human frame and mind. Why call me Lord, Lord, and obey me not? Everyone who comes to me and listens to my words and acts upon them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man engaged in building a house, who dug deep down, and when the floods came, the river dashed against that house, but could not shake it. For it had been well built, but he who has listened and does not obey is like a man who built a house on the earth with no foundation, and the river dashed against it, and it collapsed at once, and the ruin of that house was great. This is a solemn warning to all those who call themselves Christians. Many teach Christ, many worship Christ, but few are they that understand and follow in his footsteps. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do good unto those who injure you. Most people get lost in the outer because they do not discern from the deeper consciousness. When we examine the external values by which our thought feelings are dominated and become aware of them, free from craving, we will perceive the inner more clearly. This discerning will lead to freedom. But this discovery, this experience, cannot be made for you by another. Your hunger cannot be satisfied by watching another eat. Through your own self-awareness, you will awaken to false values and so discover the eternal values. The fundamental change can only come when thought feeling disentangles itself from false values that cause conflict and sorrow. If we will study the Sermon on the Mount in the true light of our oneness with all, knowing God the Father of Christ is the Father of all, you and me, we will see at once what we should do. Love your neighbor as yourself. Here we see the great wonderful teachings of the Master. I have never read anything in the world that compared to it. I've never seen anything written in any book that was even greater than his words. I've searched within myself and my own soul to find if there was anything greater than those words of his. And I could find none. But when I found these words and understood them, I found them in myself. That is the same that you shall do. You shall discern then the falseness of all these things, the false values, and then you will realize the eternal value. That was what he came to show. And this benediction is a summary of what we have read tonight. O eternal and ever-present, thy beauty and wisdom, love and power were revealed through thy Son, who called himself the Son of Man, the Son of God. I do not ask freedom from evil, because I know I am one with thee already. I know that the error I create has no foundation except in my stupid self.